Before I pray, I want to offer a word of thanks. You see some of these bags up here. This is a small representation of all that you brought in. So many bags, I think more than 200 bags to bless kids in this local community. You are going to absolutely transform the beginning of their school year. I've had teacher after teacher after teacher tell me one of the hardest things is when kids show up on the first day and they don't have the resources that they need, and you're changing that trajectory. Thank you for being a church that does that. It absolutely makes an impact on kids' lives. So if you forgot yours, you didn't bring it, you can bring it back later. I think they're going out tomorrow to all the different schools. So thank you for being that church. I wonder if you might pray with me and for me. God, thank you for this day. God, thank you for the gift of being able to worship. I pray, God, that the words that come out of my mouth might be honoring and pleasing to you, that somehow, God, you might speak through me today. God, that you would give us ears to hear what you want us to hear, that our minds might be open to understanding, that our hearts might be willing to be transformed. Come, Holy Spirit, do what you do, and for goodness sakes, let me get out of the way. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're in the second week of this new series called Big Little Words. Pastor Marcella kicked it off last week. I hear she's got a mad golf swing that she used, that she showed you. But this is a series where we're looking specifically at small words that we find in the Bible that change the trajectory of what's going on. They change what's happening. They change perspective. And as I thought about this series, I thought it'd be really fun to do, first of all, to get us reading our Bible, actually taking a deep dive and taking a look at it. I think the second reason I think it's really fun and really important is our words matter. The words that we say matter. People have said for years and years and years that they remember what people said to them. Your children, if you have kids, remember the words that you use. Sometimes you'll say to your kids, where did you learn that word? I heard it from you. Words matter. The choice of words matters. So we're going to take a deep dive in a four-week series here into four words/phrases to see how they change the story, the trajectory of what's going on. We're going to look at biblical examples. And today's specific, the title of today's message is A Big But. We're looking at the word but. Now, I am a kid who spent my teenage years in the 90s. So I had to go, of course, to my good friend Sir Mix-a-Lot with his incredibly inappropriate song, Baby Got Back. And literally, I went and listened to this song, and I'm like, this song is awful. Like, I think the phrase, I like big butts, is in the song. And I said, all right, I wonder how many songs are actually written about butts. There are a ton of songs and inappropriate songs written about. In the 70s, Queen delivered this song, stunningly inappropriate, Fat Bottom Girls. Stunningly, I mean, people listen to it over, and some of y'all are like, yeah, it's one of my favorite songs, over and over. Casey and the Sunshine Band came out with Shake, Shake, Shake. In the 80s, LL Cool J did Big Ol' Butt. In the 2000s, Trace Atkins, Honky Tonk, Badonkadonk. Bet you've never heard a pastor say honky tonk, badonkadonk in worship, have you? And I mean, over, Meghan Trainor released All About That Bass. I didn't even realize what that song was about. We got all these songs about butts. All these songs came out and people love them. People dance to them. Man, you play one of these songs on the dance floor and people are going crazy. Now, here's the deal. That's not the type of butt that I'm talking about this morning. I'm actually talking about the but that changes the trajectory of a sentence. I have a good friend that says everything, if you say a sentence, everything after the but is BS. If you say, she's nice, but, guess what? You don't think she's nice. If you say, I don't mean to be mean, but, guess what you mean to be? Mean. Another way of saying this is that the word but is a linguistic pivot. That's a nice way to say it. It's a way to switch the trajectory or the way that something is going. It's a shift in direction. It offers contrast to what was happening before. Instead of saying it's BS, another way of saying is it disrupts what was previously going on in the sentence. Now, I would argue this happens all the time throughout Scripture. Throughout the Bible, we find this word but over and over and over again, and it is often to suggest that you may think it goes this way, But the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that it's different. The good news is that life may be hard, but there is hope. It is a reorientation. The good news is that relationships might be hard, systems might be broken, but that's not the end of the story. And we get that all throughout the, it's funny when you start looking for words, how many times you find them. Over and over and over again, where the word in the Bible is introduced and it reorients us towards hope, reorients us towards resistance, reorients us towards trust. Now, I want to look at an example of this in the Gospel according to John chapter 16. And this is after Jesus has initially had that supper with had the hopeful words with the disciples. He's telling them, like, life, there is life beyond this life. And I want you to hear what Jesus says in this passage, because I think it's really, really important. He says, I've been using figures of speech with you. The time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in such analogies. Instead, I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day, you will ask in my name. I'm not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. The Father himself loves you. But you have loved me and believe that I came from God. I left the Father and came into the world. I tell you again, I am leaving the world and returning to the Father. His disciples said, see, now you speak plainly. You aren't using figures of speech. Now we know that you know everything and you don't need anyone to ask you. Because of this, we believe you've come from God. Jesus replied, now you believe? Look, a time is coming and is here when each of you will be scattered to your own homes and you will leave me alone. I'm not really alone, for the Father is with me. I've said these things to you that you will have peace in me. In the world, you will have distress, but be encouraged. I have conquered the world. This passage comes at a really pivotal point, a really important point in the narrative and in the relationship between Jesus and the disciples. He's told them about life beyond death. He's told them that he will not be with them. This is the ending words that he offers to them. I mean, really powerful. And he wants them to know that even though he's not going to be with them the way that he's been with them before, they can still have hope. He's telling them, I'm leaving you. I'm not going to be with you the way I've always been with you. He says, I've been talking to you in ways that you can think deeply about your faith in me. Look at it again. He says, I've been using figures of speech with you. The time is coming when I'll no longer speak to you in such analogies. Instead, I will tell you plainly about the Father. And then he goes on to say something really important that I don't think we pay enough attention to in the church. He says, there will be trouble. He does not say, believing in me makes life perfect. Believing in me means your life is going to be easy. He does not say that simply because you're a follower of Jesus, you will never have things. I think a lot of times in the church, it is painted that if you just follow Jesus, your life will be full of daisies and butterflies. And honestly, the reason many people have a crisis of faith is because that is not true. And they go, but wait a second, somebody told me that. Jesus doesn't say that. He doesn't say your life will be full of daisies and butterflies. There will be challenges. And he doesn't even suggest that if you walk through trouble, it is a sign of weak faith. Walking through trouble, walking through challenges and difficulty is a sign of the human condition. It's our collective struggle. And then he says this word, offering a big old but. Look at it again. His disciples said, see, now you speak plainly. You aren't using figures of speech. Now we know. I think this is funny, by the way. Now we know. They've watched Jesus do all these things. Now we know that you know everything and you don't need anyone to ask you. Because of this, we believe you've come from God. It took them a hot minute, right, to realize that he came from God. Jesus replied, now you believe? Look, a time is coming and it's here. When each of you will be scattered to your own homes, you'll leave me alone. I'm not really alone. For the Father is with me. I've said these things to you so that you will have peace in me. In the world you have distress, but be encouraged. I have conquered the world. He says, I've taught you all these things, and the time is coming when you have to do it on your own. Challenges are gonna come. It's gonna be hard. He says, but have hope. But be encouraged. That reality of challenges and difficulty will not have the final say in their lives. It won't be the end of the story. In the passage, he says, there is peace, and that peace isn't the absence of trouble. That peace is the presence of God's grounding love in the midst of trouble. I think so many people think in order to have peace, you have to have no trouble in your life. There are very few seasons of my life in this world, maybe when I was a little teeny kid, where I didn't recognize any trouble at all. Instead, peace is not the absence of trouble. Peace is the inclusion of God's hope as you walk through it, in the midst of it, as you do it. I think the idea that there can be peace in the midst of turmoil is what Jesus is trying to get to with the big but. I bring you peace. I bring you hope. I bring you that encouragement. There's a book called Is Christianity a Matter of Convenience? Author Michael Romsden. And he talks about this study that was done in Asia. And it was a focus group of people. And he asked them to describe when in their life they had experienced the most peace. And people would say things like, I experience peace when I'm sitting out in the middle of creation. I experience peace when I'm listening to a beautiful song. I experience peace when I'm observing a butterfly fly. And he gets to the end and he does all this research. And do you know what he noticed? Not one person described peace, including other people. It was all about what they saw. It was all about isolation. And I think the struggle with that is that Jesus brought these 12 together and ultimately 72 and ultimately thousands and ultimately millions and millions and millions of people together, not simply to say to have peace, you got to go off and be by yourself. Jesus's message was that peace can and should and will include others. And how you walk through life peacefully with them is really, really important. Now, some of you will say, look, I just can't do people. I'm really good if there are no people. And what I would say to you is through Christ, all things are possible, okay? You can do it. You can walk through life with other people and you can have peace in the midst of it. Me too, right? Me too. You can have peace in the midst of it if Christ is at the center of that. There is hope in the midst of that. Now, this isn't the only place, of course. Why would I choose this word if this was the only place where the word but changes the trajectory of where the scriptures go? I mean, those disciples are sitting in that moment and Jesus is telling them all this stuff and they're like, we're gonna be alone. And Jesus throws this word but out there to say that's not the end of the story. Here are some other places. Joseph has this moment in Genesis where he's decided he's gonna confront his brothers who have thrown him in a pit and have put him out and said he's not worthy. And Genesis 50:20, it says this. Joseph says, you planned something bad for me, but God produced something good from it in order to save the lives of many people, just as he's doing today. He's saying, you wanted harm for me, but God brought peace. And if you want to read that story, it's a really cool story. Go back to the book of Genesis. Great story. In Nehemiah, they're talking about the destruction of the people as if God's going to come and destroy them. And I want you to hear this passage from Nehemiah 9. It says, but our ancestors acted arrogantly. They were stubborn and wouldn't obey your commandments. They refused to obey and didn't remember the wonders that you accomplished in their midst. They acted arrogantly and decided to return to their slavery in Egypt. Read the next word. But. Okay, let's all read it. But. You are a God ready to forgive, merciful and compassionate, very patient and truly faithful. You didn't forsake them. I love people that tell me the God of the Old Testament's a mean God. That's a God of the Old Testament. Nehemiah's saying, but they messed up, and you see the juxtaposition that goes back and forth here. Our ancestors, they were arrogant, they were bad, da-da-da-da-da. But you are a God of grace. You are a God of beautiful hope. You are a God of peace in the midst of all of these things, back and forth, back and forth. God, you are faithful. God, you did not forsake them. God, you are good even in the midst of pain. And then read the Psalms. About a third of the Psalms are about people who are in pain. Look at this one. It says, my body and my heart fail, but God is my heart's rock and my share forever. Depending on the translation, the word but appears in the Bible more than 4,000 times. Isn't that remarkable? 4,000 times you have heard it said, but. This is what I bet you think, but. We thought this about God, but. I think what that tells us is that God's message is a big old but message. Throughout all of Scripture, the world says this is what's important, but God says it's this. The world says this is the end of the story, but God says not quite, not yet. The world says, aren't we all hopeless? And God says, but no, we're not. God offers hope. God offers joy in the midst of pain. So I think the point of this actually might be for us to take a look at the Bible and see those places and those moments that are pivotal, the moments that change, the moments that transform. And then you might go, so what? I'm going to read the Bible and see it. You're darn right, because you're going to learn a lot more about the God who loves you, about the God that wants to walk with you, about the God who looks at your situation and doesn't dismiss it, doesn't say it's not valuable, doesn't say it's not important, but instead values you, says you matter, and says, but that's not the end of your story. That's not it. So my question for us today is, how might we become big butt Christians? Now, I hope that you'll go to work tomorrow, and somebody will say, what'd you do this weekend? And you'll say, my pastor talked about badonkadonks and being a big butt Christian. I can't wait for somebody, by the way, to watch the online version and just come in at that part. That's the best. But what are some things we can do to become people who believe in the butt? Believe in that shift, in that transition. Here's the first thing. I think this is really important. We speak truth, but we hold fast to vision. What do I mean by that? A lot of times the church speaks to things that we look at in the world and we say are wrong. A lot of times in the church, we speak to things that we're like, hey, that's not right. And I'll use an example. Racism was one of those times when a lot of the church said, racism's wrong. But guess what? Their actions didn't match it. They didn't do anything about it. The church sat in these places where it still allowed segregation and separation. If we want to be big butt Christians, we have to have our words match up with our actions. We have to say it is not okay for kids not to have the school supplies they need and bring in the school supplies they need. We have to say it is not okay to take out an entire race of people, an entire group of people in the world, and we have to stand behind that by taking action. We have to say it is not okay to oppress a group of people for who they love, and we have to love people. You see the difference? To be big butt Christians, we can't just say the thing, but we have to live it out as well. It's really, really important. So we have to speak the truth, and we have to hold fast to that vision. We have to stand up and walk alongside those who are oppressed in the society and in the world. Here's the second thing. To be big butt people, we have to acknowledge our own limitations and rely on God's power. I think it's really, really important to say, I'm overwhelmed. I think it's really, really important to say, I don't have much more to give. I think it's really, really important to say, I don't think I can climb that mountain. And I think it's really important to say, but that's not the end of the story. God is powerful. But God can help me do that thing. But God can help me walk through that. I think it is absolutely okay to name our earthly limitations. So many of us living in Northern Virginia have trouble with that. We can do anything. No, we can't. We absolutely can't. But Scripture says with God, all things are possible. How do we allow that but to change the trajectory of we can't? Together with Christ, we can. That's really important. Here's the third thing. We sit with grief, but we refuse despair. What does that mean? No one should ever tell you. I remember years and years ago, I was a brand new pastor, and a 12-year-old boy in our church had died. And I went over to visit with that family. I was literally like 10 minutes into being a pastor, no joke. And I went to visit with that family, and somebody in the house said, isn't it good that God needed that child and took that child? First of all, please don't ever say that to a grieving family. Please don't ever say that, because God doesn't need to take children. God doesn't need that. And what I wanted to say to that person in that moment, but again, I was 10 minutes into this, so I just went, yeah, I don't believe that. Seriously, what I wanted to say in that moment is, grief is absolutely okay. Grief is absolutely okay. Grief is right. No one should push you out of your grief. And if we want to be big butt Christians, we also hold hope in the midst of it. It's a hard and a delicate balance to walk through grief and to be hopeful. Those are not mutually exclusive realities. To walk with grief and be hopeful that God is with us. We are reminded throughout the Bible, and I think it's even more than throughout the Bible. I think if we pay attention to the world around us and we look for those moments where we can look at the world and we can go, the world's just so hard. Or we can look at the world and say, in the midst of how hard it is, I can see where God shows up. The big but changes the way that we look at it. It changes the perspective. So here's the question for you. I'm not going to ask you to answer this out loud. How big is your butt? Is your vision bound by current realities? I mean, I literally have heard people say to me, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. There's nothing left. There's nothing we can do. Well, there is no Jesus in that. I mean, we sang a song a few minutes ago about the Son of God going into a grave and rising from that grave. If we believe that is possible, can we not believe in the redemption of the world? Can we not have hope in the possibility of the world? Can we see God's alternate reality? Can we be honest and wake up every day and say, this is hard, it's really hard, but it's not the end of the story, and then can we believe it? That's the big but. That's the but that we get from the Bible. That's the but. Whatever our current reality is does not have to be the final reality. It does not have to be the end of the story. There's another alternative. We could be the butt in every situation. We could be the butt in conversations. And I'm not talking about just Mr. Positive or Ms. Positive, whatever. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about holding hope for other people when they can't hold hope for themselves. I'm talking about believing in peace in the world when the rest of the world seems like there's no way. And I'm talking about being people that call out a lack of peace in the world, that stand up for it, that do better. Look, friends, if we wake up every day, no kidding, if we wake up every day and say it's all over, there's nothing that can be done, that is an incredibly fatalistic reality. And I don't think there is anybody that we would talk to that would say, I want some of whatever you're experiencing. If it's all fatalistic, if it's all bad, the other problem with it is it doesn't match with the gospel. It doesn't match with it. As the disciples would say, this is really, really, really hard, Jesus would say, it absolutely is, and but. I pray that we go into this week understanding that knowing while trouble and challenges are real, peace, including humans, is absolutely possible. God's grace, God's hope are powerful. They're palatable. They push us into seeing the world through a different light, through a different perspective. And I pray that God this week might enlarge your butt. Yeah, I really do. I pray that you might hear scenarios. Look, if you're somebody that still watches the news, I pray that you would be somebody that would say, yes, but. I pray when you hear somebody that has a terrible illness that you don't say, yes, but you're going to be fine. That's not what I mean. Your yes, but is that you hold hope for them in the midst of that thing. If you hear somebody whose marriage is falling apart, you're holding hope for them in the midst of that. The but that we get from the gospel is wherever we see harm, exhaustion, or death, we can bring into reality hope, contrast, compassion, healing, rest, and new life. May your butt grow every single day. Amen. Amen.